Hi, everyone.
Great, thanks.
Thanks for joining our call today, and I'm going to turn it now over to Michael.
Thanks, Tracy, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to just share quickly when Tracy had asked me to present Dental Fix, I thought it may be good to include a candidate that I placed with Dental Fix and talk through the process in terms of how I came to present Dental Fix. It was quite interesting and different, I think, from our standard process in terms of how we work with clients, with client meetings, et cetera. So I'll switch between the PFA and Dental Fix, and please stop me if you have any questions. But in terms of Mark Belmar, I think all of you may have a copy of his resume and also an abbreviated version of the PFA. And just a little history about how I met Mark. I actually do workshops here at Lehec Harrison in Los Angeles, and I had completed a workshop in March. And through my workshops now, I try and work through more of, I think, some of the objections and these anchors that we try to set, so that at least when I go down the road with them and they engage, I can go back to them. One of the things that I included in this particular workshop was talking about the sign world and sign business. And I finished the workshop, collected all the evaluations, and Mark actually stayed behind, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, Michael, do you have some time now? I wanted to talk to you about my interest in a business." And I usually like to set aside time afterwards in the event there are people that have questions. And so he and I sat down in the conference room, and he and I talked for about an hour after the meeting. And what he had asked me about was the sign business, and he told me a little bit about himself. I also tried to get as much information from him as I could. I talked about our process, but he was hell-bent on finding out more about signs. And so I said, "Well, we do have a business. I have one that's a little different from a franchise," and I talked to him about Sign World. And he was really captivated, and he said, "Could you send me some more information on the concept?" Of course, this is really contrary to our normal process. I did, and at that time I arranged to talk with him the following week, I think on, this was a Friday, I think the next Tuesday. And so over the weekend I sent out the PFA. I had talked to him about our process of getting further details on a client. And he actually filled it out that weekend. I got it back on the Monday morning. I phoned his house on Tuesday, and by the way, this guy did not have a cell phone. I got his home number, and this lady answered the phone, and it must have been his wife, and she was very abrupt. And she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm looking for Mark Belmar." And she said, "Well, I'll let him know that you called. Can you give me a message?" And so I left a message, and I didn't get a call back from him for about a week. And some things had happened. I think he had traveled a couple days. So when he called me back, I arranged a time to talk with him on the phone. In fact, what I was trying to do was get him and his wife to a client meeting, and he said that his wife was changing a vocation, which was a red flag. She was going to become a massage therapist. She was moving out of teaching, and that it would be very difficult for them to meet. So I said, "Look, could we set up a call for the three of us?" We tried to do that. That didn't work. And so I ended up talking with him on the phone, and we based the conversation around signs. And he said he really would like to just investigate signs. He really wasn't interested in anything else at that point in time. So I put him in touch with Ken Kent. Of course, if any of you have worked with Ken, Ken moves very quickly at Sign World and tries to get him to a discovery day as soon as possible. So Mark got to a discovery day. I didn't feel comfortable about it. I didn't feel that he was committed enough and that we really hadn't been through sufficient of the process. So he went to the discovery day, came back. He was enamored with the concept, but at the time he started voicing some concerns about the cost. And he said, you know, Michael, I may have a problem affording this concept. What do you think I need? So I always usually tell clients they probably want to have an envelope of an additional 20% to make sure they have enough working capital. We went through all the numbers. And then he said, you know, how many employees do you think I'm going to have to manage in this business? And I said, well, it depends on the size, but generally I know if you get to $1 million in revenue, you're probably going to have 4 to 5. And he said, I don't know that I'm that comfortable about that. And I reiterated to him, had he included his wife in the process, which was always an issue, I think, for myself and the franchisor going through the process. Anyway, so to cut a long story short, looking at his PFA, I was starting to get alarmed, and I thought, I don't know that this person is going to buy a business. Hadn't had a client meeting with him. I really didn't have any relationship with the wife. And so I went back to the PFA. One of the things that struck out at me was his professional hobbies. And for those of you that have copies, he really likes radio control sailplanes. And that sort of gave me a tip. In fact, when I go through PFAs, you know, one of the first things I look at is money. Does that match up to a potential concept? How committed are they in terms of spending that money? Where do they think it's going to come from? Another thing I'll look at is, you know, what the scale is in 1 to 10 on doing a business. Mark was at a 9, so that was good. Something else that also caught my eye, which I hadn't noticed at first, was building relationships, mechanical aptitude, and he was pretty au fait with technical stuff. And so the next call that I had with him, you know, I said, Mark, I know we've just been looking at one particular concept. I hear that the cost may be an issue to you, and we ran through the numbers, and I said, I could agree you're going to be squeezing your budget. And I said, the other thing that bothers me a little bit about this in terms of how we've built out your business model is that you aren't that comfortable managing people. And I said, I asked him the question, I said, do you like working with your hands? And he answered and he said, yes, you know, I do. I said, I tinker around the garage a lot. I like to fix things. I'm pretty creative. And I said, would you be open to looking at another concept that would cost you less, that I think you could grow the same amount as a sign world, and would give you the flexibility that you need in operating it yourself? It has the ability to grow over time, and you get to use your hands. And, of course, he couldn't wait for me to tell him, and so I presented DentalFix to him. And he said, well, Dennis, you know, why do you think about dentists? And I said, well, Mark, how long have you been going to your dentist? And he said, oh, I've been going for 15 years. And I said, has he or she ever gone out of business? And he was quiet for a second. He said, no, I don't think so. And I said, do you know any other dentists that have ever gone out of business, you know, apart from joining a new partnership? And he said, no. And I said, it's a great business. It's recession-proof. Remember, I talked about that in my workshops. So anyway, that's how I got Mark engaged with DentalFix. And I think what also helped is as I got to know him better and better over time, we got his wife engaged. He is a belonger. And most of the time I would just listen to him on the phone. And I think for those of you that have worked with belongers, rather than tell people, it's much better to listen. And you get a tremendous amount of information. They like to talk a lot. And Mark, being a belonger, I focused on the family culture in the business. I think with Laurie as the development manager, Laurie Morrison, she also has that wonderful Southern friendly character about her. David, the CEO, has the same. And I think for you, when you present DentalFix, if it's a fit for your candidates, I think it's a really good fit for a belonger because they're a smaller company. David offers all of his franchisees, the CEO, his cell phone number. He's very easily accessible. So these are all things that came out through the process as I work with Mark. And, of course, the main thing was getting his wife engaged. I had to work through Mark on that. And I think Laurie and myself obviously did a good job to get her to a place where Mark felt that his marriage was going to stay intact and he could buy a business. So that's sort of the story behind Mark and how I got to present Dental Fix. It's not the normal way that I work with clients, candidates, using the Franet process, but it just shows you that every deal can be different. And I think if you listen and you have a candidate that you can get engaged and follows the process, albeit that it's slightly different, you can get them to the finish line. And Mark has been in business now for 3 months. He's doing very well. He just finished his training in August and works out of the Los Alamitos territory, which is it's right on the border of Orange County and Los Angeles. So I don't know if any of you have questions. I guess that's sort of it from a formal presentation standpoint.
Michael, it's Ted in New Orleans.
Yeah, hi, Ted.
Hey, I just want to thank you. Your presentation was extremely clear and effective, and I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
When I first looked at your person, I had those same thoughts, money issue, because it was going to be tight and no way a sign business would work. So I think that was very, very insightful of you to figure out that there was another concept that was a match based on, some of the other things that are not always obvious on the PFA. So I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say I think it was very helpful to understand your thinking, and I appreciate it.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
Hey, Michael, it's Perry. How you doing?
Is it Terry?
Perry, in Wisconsin.
Oh, hey, Perry, how are you?
Good, good. Yep. Hey, enjoyed it, thanks. I jumped on a little late. I was on another call. But how did the validation go? Did your client do a lot of validating? And I just was interested to see, what kind of feedback they got.
Yeah, great question, Perry. Mark actually did quite a bit of validation. He was a big planner and called me for a lot of information around the business, bookkeepers, franchise attorneys, etc. One thing that he did do was he called the existing franchisee in Los Angeles who I think a little to our disdain is not one of the top performers. It's actually two guys. One of the guys has a lot of money and likes to go go-kart racing. And so Laurie was pretty concerned about that. But he actually went out to visit them, and he wasn't discouraged. It was interesting, Perry. I learned something more about him through that process. Is he was a pretty balanced individual, and I think if you look at his PFA, the creativity piece comes out. And he went around with this guy, and I think his name is Randy, and did three or four calls. And when I did a debrief with him the following day and asking him how it was, I was actually concerned that he may have put him off. He said, I enjoyed it. And Michael, what I thought was some of the things this guy did, I think I could have done them a little differently and probably done it quicker. And I said, oh, interesting. And so I started asking him questions about that. And so I think it was sort of his viewpoint is that he was a guy that was, although analytical, very creative and positive about stuff. And so he put a positive spin on it, which I thought was very helpful. I do know that he did validate when he went to Discovery Day. In fact, he had talked with the gentleman that most of the folks go out with when they go to Discovery Day. I think his name is David, and I believe he's got two or three trucks, and he is just killing it. And what Mark validated with him was his process. Mark's concerns were around the pricing. He was being told that by the franchisor that they could charge anywhere from, I think, $140 to maybe $180 an hour. And I don't think he saw $180 with Randy, but when he was with Mike, Mike had a process of using an iPad and basically had the relationship with the dental offices and said, hey, here's the work that I've done, and here's what it's telling me that it costs. And he said none of the dentists balked. He did about two or three calls with them. So the validation with him was extremely good. I think he did make a few other calls, and nothing put him off. I believe that most of those individuals, unfortunately, with a new concept like this, right, there's not a lot of history. But I think they were good enough and motivated enough where there was no detraction from him, you know, moving forward.
So do you know, Michael, on this concept, I know they make prospecting calls. What's kind of the hit ratio? I mean, can these guys actually go into dental offices that have been using these big firms for years and years and say, hey, we're $140 an hour and we'll do it the same thing, and they'll switch?
Yeah, absolutely. The key that I focus on presenting this is they have a great support system, Perry. They assign an account manager to the new franchisee. Each franchisee has an account manager that supports them, and then they also have a call center, and they have salespeople in the call center that set up these calls for them where it's a warm call. They go in and they actually start talking to the front office manager or potentially even the dentist. I don't think it's a situation where they go in the first time and the dentist says, hey, I'm going to switch to working with you. It's more of a longer process where they go in and they promote themselves either through a business card, a quick conversation, some information, follow-up, and letting the folks know the key to this concept is that they are local and that they have the expertise and the support to fix the majority of goods on site rather than actually either having to send them back to a facility or replace them with a new product.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Thanks.
Hey, Perry and Michael, it's Brad back in Chicago. I wanted to throw in a point because I had the opportunity to place someone in Dental Fix a month or so ago, and not only did Lori do a phenomenal job in the contact, but if I remember right, Dental Fix does two things that I thought were real interesting. Number one, they blanket the territory around dental offices once every 5 weeks or something like that with mailers. So there's this constant message coming through about Dental Fix. Mm. And also, if I remember right, it's one of those concepts where if you don't meet a certain revenue level in year one, they have a guarantee where they'll refund the franchise fee back to the franchisee. Oh. And it was a pretty powerful statement that my candidate, anyway, responded to when he heard that. Not only do they do the ongoing marketing, which is pretty compelling, but also how could he lose if they're going to stand behind the franchise fee with a guarantee? It seemed it helped him minimize his risk. He's very happy.
Yep. No, Brad, thank you for that.
Brad,
that's a great point. Yeah, the guarantee is if they don't get 40 customers in their first year, they get their money back if they want to leave the system.
Wow.
So it's great validation. So, you know, my feeling is it's a great concept to show someone if they haven't had experience managing folks, I think the fact that you're marketing to professionals that expect to pay a lot of money to get stuff repaired, it's a need rather than a want. For the achievers, Mark was a belonger achiever. You have the opportunity to build up with multiple trucks. I think each truck is about $350,000, maybe $400,000 in revenue. So you have that opportunity. There are franchisees in the system that are doing that right now. I know that the top folks in the system are making multiples of hundreds of thousands of dollars EBITDA, so that you can get an achiever who's been earning a six-figure salary that's prepared to work hard and even white-collar into the system. Now, I think previously we really only had Fibernew for folks working with their hands as owner-operators. This is a great new concept where you can probably pull in and
hey, Michael, can I ask
try
you
and match
question?
It up to some white collar. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It's Perry. Again, I had a guy who went down the road with Fibernew, and in the end he said he thought it was too physical, the labor. And just didn't, you know, while he thought he could do that, do you think this would be a better option?
Well, Perry, I think there's some physicality involved in it. You know, here's a comment that Mark made to me. He said, Michael, one of the things that I noticed was that when I went out with this franchisee, he was a pretty big guy, and he struggled to get into a closet where the vacuum pump was, I think. And that's a big thing that breaks. And he said, you know, luckily I'm slender, but he said, I think, you know, physically, if you had a very large person, it may not be as easy to do the work. Laurie, I've had a discussion with Laurie about it, and she said it's never really come up with any of their candidates. But I think there's some physicality to it, mainly just around perhaps getting under a chair and maybe getting into a tight space and perhaps, you know, moving a sterilizer machine into your van, which you'd probably put on a dolly, which I don't think is that heavy, but that's about the extent of it, I think.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions?
Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you very much, Michael. We appreciate your time and information today. I've already received positive feedback via email on your presentation. So unless anyone has any questions, we'll wrap up. One, twice. Okay.
Great.
Everybody, all right.
Thank you, Michael. It was very good.
Yep, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks, Tracy.
Bye-bye.